Being creative means exhaling, but there are times when you have to inhale as well. You've got to take in new experiences, new perspectives, and so that's the inhaling part of being creative. It's even connecting with people whose perspectives might be different, experiences are different, and you learn.
Creative engagement. Hello, I'm your host, Daniel Mandel, and I invite you to join us at the intersection of artistry and engagement. I'll be shining a light on the importance of authentic self-expression and participation in life. My purpose is to stimulate curiosity that will lead to play so that we can all live our most meaningful adventure. I'm a creativity coach, and I'm the chief encouragement officer. I work with people as creators and as artists to generate change through curiosity and imagination that invites creativity into problem solving to address life challenges. Anne Sandstrom is a singer-songwriter living just outside of Boston, and we're discussing her latest CD, The Winter Year. This interview starts out with a performance of Anne's song, I Walked with an Angel, and later Anne describes the meaning and circumstances of this song. It reinforces a main principle that my mentors, Nancy Spanier and Paula Ortel, taught me, which is to take whatever shows up in your life and run it through your artistry. Anne so beautifully embodies this idea. I've also seen great benefits from this approach. It's amazing to see what happens when you can make sense of and express whatever arises in yourself. It can be profound when nothing is off limits. No shame is too dark, no pain is too intense, that you can't work with it in some way. Lately, I realized this is also how I work with people. Whether or not they see themselves as artists, I bring my intuition in the form of creative challenges. I've recently added teaching guitar lessons in the context of learning songwriting skills. To find out how I can inspire you to engage with your creativity, follow the information in the episode notes, where you'll find all the links and where you can get access to Anne Sandstrom's CD, The Winter Year.
With nothing to offer and desire.
tender hand, someone to pull me through. Suddenly I understand, I've been looking for you, only you. Deep in your kisses, still I ache for grace. I search the whole world over for your familiar face. You hold not a tender hand, you're leading me to believe.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Well, that's one of the songs on my latest CD. It's a song that's in which I tried to be very poetic in describing something actually very mundane and not terribly glamorous. Whenever I've explained to fellow songwriters who are friends what the song is actually about, especially the first verse, they said, wow, I would never have guessed that. So I just let people take what they want from it.
Yeah. Would you be willing to reveal what that is about?
Sure. The first verse is actually about being in a hospital bed on the 15th floor of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston after major cancer surgery. And then the nurse is the angel. And because she really got me up and going, and I attribute my survival in part to her. And the birds are actually the helicopters that I would see landing on the roof below me. And it would be all hours of the day and night. And I would see somebody run across the helipad with a cooler, with an organ for somebody. And yet that became the first verse, which I suspect nobody would ever know.
Oh, it's interesting that you would describe that as mundane. Sounds actually kind of profound.
Well, I suppose it is. Yeah. It is, but there are lots of people in hospitals and all. I'm not saying that that's not a traumatic experience, an important experience. I wouldn't consider it a creative experience.
But it was part of your everyday happening then, yeah.
Yeah, it was a big part of my life. I look to people like Frida Kahlo, for example, who took what was tremendous physical pain in her life, and she turned that into beauty.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is something that I aspire to. Take all of the things that are negative and do something positive, whether it's creating something beautiful, being kind, which can be a creative act in its own way, and in that way recognize the things that are less than ideal, but try to turn that into something useful or positive or inspiring.
It is very inspiring. Yeah, yeah. Can you just say one more time the name of the song?
The song is I Walked With an Angel.
I am speaking with singer-songwriter Anne Sandstrom, and you are currently living in Boston, is that correct?
Just outside of Boston in Burlington.
Ah, so I have been kind of hopping around different places in the globe, interviewing people in their homes, and so now we're on the East Coast of the United States, and yeah, welcome to the Creative Engagement Podcast, and this podcast is all about exploring something that you apparently do very, very well, which is being creative, exploring artistry, and really being engaged with your artistry. Tell us what creativity has meant for your life, and you can feel free to answer that any way you want to, but what has it done? Even how has it challenged you?
It's important to me.
Right.
And I, from as long as I could remember, I knew I loved music. I would play, such as it was, for a very little girl on my grandmother's piano. And she let me. And that was her pride and joy. But I was the one, she let me do it. She knew, I think, that this would be important to me. So music has been at the forefront. I've also tried painting in college. I took some art classes. I did some painting, drawing. Now my twin sister is the one who's the artist. Creativity is also important to her. So I suppose maybe there's a genetic component to it. And I need a way to express the things that I think are difficult to really express in day-to-day conversation.
Yeah. As I listen to your songs, you get kind of philosophical, you get kind of deep, you ask yourself questions. I was listening to your song Divided, and you kind of start out saying, well, these are some things that I got from my mom, these are some things I got from my dad, and kind of exploring how you kind of see yourself in some way as divided. Can you say a little bit about that song,
well,
and
actually,
how that came about?
That's not autobiographical. And it's another case of the song appears to be about one thing, but it's actually about something else entirely. Uh-huh. Much of it, I wrote much of it at the time my brother was debating moving to Maine with his family. And there was a whole thing about, was it going to be this house or that house? Was it even going to work out at all? And so that's what it's really about. However, I turned it into, you know, the first verse talks about, yeah, you get this from your mother, this from your father, and yet, you know, it means you feel divided. And so that's the other thing, is that in being creative, I think that facts can be slippery, or I should say situations can be slippery, and you can transpose one reality onto another so that it can be more universal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that it pulled me into a space of thinking about, like, oh, in what ways am I looking at the parts of myself and trying to get to the unified who am I? You know, we're always trying to answer that question for ourselves.
Right, which seems to be like the basic question at the core of everything from relationships to conflicts to even within communities and so forth. Who am I? And who are you? And where do I end and you begin?
Yes, yes. And it seems like there is a part of answering the who question that is the expression, like part of who you are is the way you're saying what you're saying and the what of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to, this is our very first conversation. We don't know each other. And my first encounter with you is through your voice and your songs, and through your announcing your song through the Kaylee group that Mari Campbell runs on Facebook. What's your connection? How did you find out about Mari and the Kaylee group?
I've been part of a Joni Mitchell discussion group for years and years and years. And I knew Zuby through that group. And I had done a couple of the international online Joni Fests that we did via Zoom. And he liked what I did, and it was all Joni covers.
Yeah, you have a very strong, beautiful voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I don't always know if people like to hear who they sound like, or I know that's a common thing, but yeah, Joni Mitchell and Joan Baez really stand out as you have a very strong, clear voice.
Thank you. And those are not, those, hey, if you're going to be compared to somebody, those are not bad comparisons.
Not at all, yeah.
So anyway, one Sunday, Zuby was filling in for Mari, figuring out who was going to play. And he asked me, would I play? And I was floored. I said, well, I'd be honored to play. And I did. And I thought, well, that was nice. I mean, I got to play virtually in Scotland, and I've played there several times.
Yeah, and aren't Kaylee's, even in an online Zoom sort of modified format, aren't they kind of amazing? Have you attended a Kaylee in person at all?
I have not, so I can't wait someday. And it's wonderful. I can be somewhat shy, but I said, I am going to go to the little breakout in between the sets and get to know people. And I really did. And I've got friends now in Scotland that I'm very fond of.
Yeah. Yeah. Mari has friends and folks are participating in that, you know, sort of live Zoom version of Kaylee from all over the world. And right. You never know where in the world you're going to be when you get dropped into one of those breakout rooms. So it's right. it's quite an experience.
Well, and it's a way to explore and sort of travel. And I think that learning about other things, because I was thinking a lot of times being creative means exhaling, but there are times when you have to inhale as well. You've got to take in new experiences, new perspectives. And so that's the inhaling part of being creative. It's even connecting with people whose perspectives might be different, experiences are different, and you learn.
So I want, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some questions about, you mentioned just now being shy, but your voice sounds so strong, so powerful. It doesn't sound like a shy voice.
Well, that is my voice. That is the one way that I feel comfortable communicating with the world.
So what was the journey of being a shy person with a powerful voice?
It was very strange that I would, starting in high school, I would perform on stage in front of this auditorium with 500 something students or more. And it was a beautiful old auditorium. And yet I was also in class, I was kind of shy, but I knew that this was the one thing I could do. This was my thing. I had this voice and I could sing.
And even as a young child, is it that it just felt natural and right to
yes.
sing,
always,
you know,
always.
Very projected? And
uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you get stage fright when you perform live? Or
I used to. I don't anymore. And I've got to say, doing all of the online stuff, I have to be a little careful to not be too blasé about it, because it's very comfortable. I'm sitting in my house and I don't get the slightest bit nervous, and I have to not get blasé and treat it like just a practice. I am trying to connect with people.
Part of the way that I met Zubi and Mari was through a woman named Kath Berlinson, who started the another group on Facebook called the Authentic Artist Collective. And that word authenticity, what was your journey or the way that you found your way into expressing your own voice?
Well, at first I thought I was supposed to sound and write a particular way. And I think, like a lot of budding artists, you look to others who came before you, others that are inspiring, others who do things the way you might like to. And so I went through that phase. And it was when I can remember one moment in particular. I was in a songwriting group, and I brought a song that I wasn't too sure about. The first line was, "We walked by the ocean's brim, you tripped and almost fell right in." And I remember one of the other songwriters said, "That's you. It's some humor. It's absolutely authentic, to use the word." And that kind of opened a door for me, saying, I really can be who I am in my songs. I can really say what I want and not think, well, it's really got to sound like this person or that person.
That's interesting. That reminds me of some of the times when I really appreciated that the more I could let myself be fully myself, the more magical life started to be, in a way.
Right.
Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And going back to speaking of, you know, the whole cancer experience, really takes away a lot of the physical inhibitions, just the process of between surgery and exams and all. So many people have seen me in a state that is less than optimal. I just had to let go of any vanity and say, here I am. And doing it physically, I think, led to saying, well, if I can do it physically, I can do it emotionally and in my creativity.
I'm starting to appreciate some of the philosophical exploration that I hear through your songs. And going back to our conversation of the who that we are, it's not just the who that we physically try to dress ourselves up as.
Right.
You know, when you take that away, when you take away your prettiness, when you take away your brushed hair, when you take away those physical things, you're still you.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that's a whole other thing that I think almost anyone who goes through some of the cancer treatments, where you lose your hair, you lose your eyebrows, you start to look like you're disappearing when you look in the mirror. And yet, conversely, it affirms that you are still you. You know you're still you. And that can be empowering.
Yeah, so that you have you get to experience as aspects of yourself dissolve, that doesn't take you away from you.
Right, right.
It's fascinating. The very last song, the song for Lilac, is a cappella, and it's beautifully recorded, and then we get to just hear your powerful voice like you're in the room with us. So what was that choice like? Did it feel especially bold to just have your voice, or just did it was it something about the song that felt like this is important to do it this way?
Well, I had intended to do it a cappella, and I had performed it a cappella a few times. But then I thought, well, in recording it, let's try it with accompaniment. It did not work, because the way I sing it is a little bit too free. And if you were to put a metronome, you'd say, oh, this is all over the map. But to be expressive, I couldn't do it. But then I did want the flute at the end, because I thought of Debussy's Afternoon of a Faun. And I thought, I want something of that feeling. I want to feel like I'm looking at a beautiful forest in a mist. And that's what that was the visual. There are always visuals that go on in my head for every song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So you're creating the music for the movie that's going on in front of you.
Yep. Yeah. And I've often said that the movie that's going on in my head has nothing to do with what's going on in your head.
Right. It can be the musical underpinning for whatever the movie is.
Right.
So I also wanted to ask about how did putting out a collection of these songs, what did that do for you during this winter year?
Well, for me, winter has both positive and negative connotations. Native New Englander, so I'm very accustomed to winter, and I've got some very fond memories of winter. And then there's shoveling, which is not so great. So, and the pandemic also has had that dual effect of, on one hand, isolation on a day-to-day basis, and yet not, because I've been able to virtually travel to places that I have not been physically. And that has opened up all kinds of possibilities, and I now have friends around the world that I would never have met. So just like winter has positive and negative, the pandemic has had positive and negative for me.
Yeah. And definitely we've all felt this imposed isolation in one way or another. Well, it's a beautiful expression of your winter and how you experienced it. What would you say to people who maybe have some definite shyness in their personality, people who are looking to maybe write their first song, who are looking to try their voice out and maybe, you know, activate their creativity a little bit more than they have? And what would you say as words of encouragement?
Well, first of all, I would say fire your editor, your internal editor. Just, you know, tell them, go away. They can come back much later when you're much more comfortable with being creative. But yeah, just get rid of that voice right now. The other thing that I would say, especially if you want to write songs, there are two aspects to it. Now, I've gone to a lot of songwriting workshops, and there's a great focus on what to write about in lyrics. But I would also ask, you have something to say lyrically. Do you have something to say musically? Think about that. Because it's both. And it took me a long time to get to the, oh, there are two parts to this. Try anything. You're not too old. You're never too old. And when you find those moments, when you connect with what I'll refer to as your muse, when you get the inspiration that comes from anywhere, nowhere, somewhere, who knows where, those moments are as close to me, to divine, as anything. Those moments are worth everything else. I really encourage people to pick up a paintbrush, pick up an instrument, pick up a pot and pan in your kitchen and learn to cook something new. The whole thing is to try. To expand something about yourself. and that's going to feel great.
I want to be the CEO, the chief encouragement officer.
So, I think that sounds great. So we need more of those.
Yeah, you are hired as one of our encouragers, and I really love your answer. It's really heartfelt, and I appreciate it. So, Anne, I want to thank you for participating in this conversation and helping other folks find out about you and your music and find out about their own creativity and how to really dig in and enhance their lives. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And I'll just say that, you know, if people are interested in hearing more or even connecting with me through annesandstrom.bandcamp.com, you can listen to my music. You can also send me messages through there. So feel free.
Yes, as I did as we were trying to connect.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and we'll have all of Anne's information in the podcast notes for the episode. And yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, thank you, Daniel. Thank you for having me.
The Creative Engagement Podcast's mission is to have important conversations sharing LGBTQ artist and creative stories as we encourage everyone to participate in life. Here are some ways you can help. Give our podcast some love. Creative Engagement is an independent free podcast. Your ratings and comments where you listen to podcasts help others understand the value. Send us your comments directly. Let us know your thoughts. Do you know someone who should be interviewed? Do you have a topic that should be explored that fits the creative engagement context? Send an email to coach@danielrmandel.com. Share this episode to anyone you think might enjoy artistic and queer ideas and creative encouragement. And finally, visit the Creative Engagement Coaching MyKajabi.com website to explore courses and coaching to optimize your life. Thank you for listening. I'm Daniel Mandel. Creative Engagement.